Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Hope everyone is well. I'm your host, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
Hello, Barry. You have some weird pacing going on. I just wanted to point it out and make it awkward.
Good.
And everybody will laugh at you. So how's it going, man?
Good. It's weird.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for that.
I'm good.
Weird introduction.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good. We're like in the dog days sort of summer at this point. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just like so over it. It's freaking insanely hot with high humidity, and I'm ready for it to be over. I'm ready for the fall weather. I love fall. I love the fall. Yeah. I love the seasons change, the cool weather. I like it a little nippy. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I come alive a little bit there in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when there's a crispness in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just a little bit of a chill. And, you know, I mean, I love the fall, but I'm definitely a winter person because, like, I like cold, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. I'm a warm blooded mammal.
You know, I think most men don't mind the cold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My wife can't stand it. I think most women aren't real big fans of the cold, but it doesn't bother me, man. I thrive in it, you know. It's not the heat's what kills me.
Yeah.
It just zaps the life out of me, man. You know,
dude. Me too, man. I'm not designed for the heat. I'm not designed for humidity. You know, and I mean, I guess part of it is because growing up and spending so much part of my early life there in Oklahoma, where we didn't really have much humidity, and the heat we had was dry heat, but we also had actual seasons.
Yeah.
You know, so we had winter and we had fall and we had summer and we had spring. And, you know, spring was, you know, like spring was rainy and it was you know, like it was a spring, you know, I mean, we were fortunate where we didn't have a whole hell of a lot of like crazy pollen, but, you know, we did have tornadoes. So I guess, you know, one than the other, you know,
that's right.
I personally have bad allergies, so I'll take I'll take tornadoes over to the pollen. It's just easier to deal with in the long
People are listening to you going, what are you even talking about? There's actually a tornado warning yesterday, the day before yesterday here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And well, so, that's all out.
Yeah. So people that don't know, like our big tornado season is springtime. But now it's gotten to the point where really it could be almost any time of year. You know, it's kind of like hurricanes. Like it's almost twice a year now, you know, spring and fall. You know, tornadoes are just something as you're growing up, you're used to it. It's not a freaky thing. It's normal. It's the kind of thing where you might be playing baseball one day and you take a break because a tornado touches out in the field. So everybody goes off the field and waits it out, and then you go back out, and then you just keep playing.
Get down in the dugout or somewhere that's kind of covered up.
Yeah.
Concession stand or the bathrooms. Yeah, man. So do you remember when I was really little and I lived at the White House?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not the actual, you know, Washington, D.C. White House, but it was what we called the White House in our hometown in Kingfisher. It was one of the few houses that had, you know, a second story, and, you know, it had these big columns out front. So it was called the White House. I don't know if everybody called it that, but we called it that. Anyway.
Yep.
Do you remember how, you know, whenever a tornado would come up, that my dad would you know, pick us all up and make us go get in that the green station wagon
with
the wood paneling, man. And we'd go down and we drove down to the church and we'd go down in the basement and we'd wait out the you know, the tornado.
Yeah.
And he'd always have like, you know, like we had like little model kits sometimes to build.
Yeah.
And we had like little special things to distract us while we were down there.
Right.
And during, you know, the storm. And a lot of times, man, it was funner to just going down and doing that and hanging out there and spending time there than it was to be at home. And so it's kind of like a fun, special thing, you know?
What, but man, and when you say that, that's so true, because out at my house, we lived out in the country. We lived to where we couldn't go to town. Really, you didn't have enough time to go to town.
Yeah, no.
And so you'd have a basement. Well, nobody in the neighborhood except one house had a basement, which are the Combs. And they would let us come over and jump in their cellar. And I do remember that feeling of like, there's something about sharing an awful experience with friends and family that like brings you closer together, you know?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
And there's something, it's like, you know, because usually these storms would be at nighttime and it's just kind of ominous and that whole thing, you know, and it's just, I do remember that. You know what else I remember? I remember your dad spotting, we were at church. And your dad, there was a tornado siren or something that went off, and your dad went out to spot the tornado. Do you remember that during church?
Well, my dad would always do that. No, I don't. Not during church. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense because my dad, you know, I mean, my dad was a science teacher, and, you know, he loved everything with science, you know. And
before,
you know,
it was cool, by the way. Before chasing tornadoes was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad would do that. Your dad would be out there spotting them, man. It was like...
Yeah. You know. Now, he didn't go in and like, you know, go and chase
him down.
Like,
you know. Right.
And, you know, we did that, like... I want to say we did that, like, maybe once. People, you know, ask you if you know, when you tell them you're from Oklahoma and they ask you about tornadoes and then they ask you, you know, do you ever go chasing them? And I think we did that once, and it was one of the dumbest things that we could have probably ever have done.
Yeah.
And because definitely.
They tell you specifically to stay away because they're incredibly dangerous and they're unpredictable. You know, they can change their course relatively quickly.
Yeah. And like, you know, and the weather around them is really, really bad. And then you get into the calm spot, and that's not good when, you know, because the calm spot means that it's coming near you, it's coming close, and it's going to get all up in your face. And, you know, but, you know, when we were little, you know, we, you know, dad would keep us distracted, and, you know, and we had a lot of fun doing that. And, you know, it's that's an example, Barry, of how a parent, in my mind, how a parent should present a potentially dangerous situation to their child, you know, kind of, you know, you're not lying to him, but, you know, being very little, you know, we were still very early elementary school, you know, distract them, give them little things to do, you know, don't let them get scared, don't let them get worried, don't traumatize them. You know, that is not what happens in today's story.
Oh my God, it's 180
from degree. from our guest John. And
180 degree difference.
so yeah, you guys will just, you'll hear that. It's wild. So today we have from the beautiful plains of South Dakota, with the roaming of the bison and jackalope and various wildlife things there. I think, I don't know. It's
not
flat,
and not where Swamp Thing lives.
Definitely
Thing
not. Though, although he could, but definitely not normally. So joining us today from South Dakota is John, and John's got some cool stories, and John also, he does this really cool zine. It comes out once a year, and it's all about the Swamp Thing, the comic book character and star of movies and television series and even a weird cartoon in the 90s, and one of my favorites. And that's actually kind of how we became acquainted. And but we touch on that, all of that. Enough of going around that. You know, we've been circling like a circular cloud that's getting around. Let's go ahead and form into the story and touch down. This is a weird analogy, but anyway, John.
It's very tornadic. John.
Yeah, yeah, very elemental themed. So, which works well with the Swamp Thing stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, John, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
I grew up. We moved around a lot, about every 5 to 7 years, and we eventually ended up in New Orleans, Louisiana. And my brother was going to college just a few hours north in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, at the University of Alabama. And I was just starting college. I actually believe it was right after senior year in high school. And so I would make trips up to visit my brother and get up to all sorts of no good and make terrible life decisions.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
At all. Especially in the 12 to 15 years I was in college.
So. You barely remember.
I barely remember most of my 20s. So, you know.
So I was basically on a road trip to not remember. There you go. And so I'm driving from New Orleans to Tuscaloosa, and it's pretty much straight Mississippi the whole way. You kind of go up diagonally. And during the drive, I just happened to notice there was a white four-door sedan, and they had passed me, and they're going pretty quickly. And then about 200 yards up, they would slow down, and then I had it on cruise control. You know, I'd go around them, and then they would do that again for about 3 times. And on the third and last time, they're about 100, 200 yards ahead of me, and a little tiny plume of white smoke blew up from their back left tire, and the car stopped on a dime and just veered off the road immediately. It was like the sharpest left turn ever.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And of course, you're expecting the worst. And so I was the first to stop, and then there was a gentleman right behind me. He stopped as well. And the vehicle had somehow wrapped around a tree.
Damn.
And the driver... neither of the gentlemen were wearing seatbelts, and their license plate was from Kentucky. For some reason, I noticed that every single time they passed me. Yeah. And the driver had been thrown into the passenger side, and he was crushed between the dashboard and the front window. The passenger was thrown to the back of the vehicle, and he was crushed between the top of the back seat and the windshield. And so, obviously, it's absolutely life-shattering. This is the first time I've ever seen, first of all, violent death in my life.
Right.
And, you know, seeing it, you know, so fresh. But surprisingly enough, the death wasn't the moving thing or the jarring thing as much as... So, immediately, there's a hospital at the next exit, which I had later learned. And there was a nurse, he had just gotten off duty. And he pulled up, he was probably the fourth or fifth person there. And I said, what are we going to do? And he said, we can't do anything. He's like, the ambulance is on the way. We should not move anything. Mm-hmm. And so we all agree just to sit there and wait. You can hear the ambulance coming from the background. And all of a sudden, the 1970s, I guess, Ford pickup truck pulls up off the side of the road right next to the accident. And there's an old man driving. And in the passenger seat of the bench seat, you know, just the one seater, is a small child. And the old man tells the small child to get out of the truck. The child walks over to his grandfather. The grandfather puts his hands on the child's shoulders and walks him up to the wreck, right at the driver's side door.
Mm.
And he says to the child, you need to see this.
What?
And it blew my mind. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever felt.
Wow.
I don't understand. And no one said a word. It was one of those things that you didn't even know how to respond.
Sure. Yeah.
And the child was just, I honestly don't remember the kid's expression. I went black from there.
Well, how could you take that in?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the kid was probably pretty vacant. You know, his expression was probably not much of anything, because I'm sure that he was, you know, traumatized from that. But even just hearing that just gives me kind of a weird feeling, wow. You know?
Yeah.
John, were both passengers or both folks in the vehicle, were they both dead? Were they both?
They were. Yeah, they were. They were life.
Like upon impact, they were done?
I'd imagine they was upon impact. The way their bodies were just contorted and pushed into itself. It didn't seem real. There was no blood. It was just, it was as if your head was just flat and like the top of your shoulders had hair on it.
Wow.
It was insane.
And you're 18, 17, 18?
I mean,
I came up on a car once in the middle of the night. I was driving overnight to Denver from here, which is 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
And we left at like midnight, you know, because we're dumb and we're young and we just think it's a great idea to drive to Denver. So, but we're out in the middle of nowhere. And this is like out by Watonga, Adam. Okay, mm-hmm. out that mm-hmm. way. And it's kind of what you're talking about. Like, because people don't know, like in the South, like the roadways are not interstates. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are like at best two, you know, like four lane highways, 65, you know, ish is this, you know, the speed limit. It's just not, sure. It's not interstate. You jump on and, you know, you're cruising 75 mile an hour, mm-hmm. you know. But this guy, we came up on this car and we saw his lights were flashing and the headlights were on. But this car was like careened over into a ditch. It had gone through a fence into a field. And we pulled over and we get out and we go over to the car and we open the car door and a plume of smoke. It might've been radiator like smoke or something, you know, cause it's the winter time. And this guy is just slumped over in his seat, you know, and there's blood all over him. And there's three of us, and we're all teenagers. We're 18 because we're seniors in high school. It's a spring break trip that we were taking. And this guy, like, he like raises his head up enough and he's like, he starts, you know, moaning.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, what the fuck are we going to do? We are not equipped for this, you know? So we didn't know what to do. So we shut his door and we go up to the road and we had a phone. I remember we had a cell phone. Somebody had a cell phone. And we called the cops and we waited there and the cops showed up and we took off. I don't know what happened to the guy, but he looked like he was in bad shape and it scared the hell out of us.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I'm just trying to put myself in your position. You go and this thing happens right in front of you. You watch the whole thing happen. That must have been just terrifying, dude.
It really was. Yeah, it was certainly, you know, obviously life-changing because you really put things into perspective. And in fact, I kept driving to see my brother.
Right.
And a weekend of just, you know, partying turned into me sleeping in his dorm room and just watching terrible TV.
Wow.
And add to the whole surreality of the wreck is the old man and the little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, you know, take in what maybe the old man was thinking.
Absolutely.
You know, and obviously, you know, he's an old man, so he's probably, you know, he was probably World War II generation, I would imagine, you know. And so he probably saw some shit, you know. He probably, you know, if he went over there, and even if he's like, you know, a farmer and just lived like that, you know, I mean, he's probably seen some stuff where, you know, but obviously he thought it was important enough that this kid needed to see that, you know, life is brutal. Or, you know, life ends quickly or
something
or what, but I don't know. But man, that's just what drove him to do that. Hopefully that kid wasn't too fucked up from that experience.
Right. I hope that not seeing the impact and not being there like when it first happened, hopefully the kid didn't process exactly what was going on. Obviously, you know, new death was involved, but
yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to talk to that old man and just pick his brain because he had to have seen some serious trauma
Yeah.
Coming something.
I thought you were, I thought where you were going with it was you know, he puts his hand on the kid's shoulders and then like starts praying or something. That's what I thought you were going to say. But I was not prepared for that.
It felt very much like something out of Twin Peaks, like this old man, very nicely pressed flannel, tucked in jeans, you know, big belt buckle, little kid right out of a Norman Rockwell painting. It was so bizarre.
Wow. Damn. Yeah, I'm sure, like, how do you process that?
Yeah.
You know, as a kid. Golly, man. Crazy.
So, Johnny, what did you and Grandpa get up to today?
Right.
Well, yeah. Grandpa showed me death.
So, yeah.
Again. Carnage.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I guess one redeeming factor about it is that there probably wasn't a lot of gore from what you described.
Yeah.
Because, man, if there was gore, that really, a lot of blood and stuff, that really would have probably messed that kid up even more. Did you ever see that movie Color of Night? It was Bruce Willis, and it probably came out in around, I think it was 94. And it was a erotic psychological thriller.
Yes, I have seen that. Yes.
Yeah, that movie messed me up.
Yeah,
where everyone that? Because, dies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because like he had one of his patients like jumped out of a window of a skyscraper, and it messed. Bruce Willis was a psychologist, and it messed him up because he couldn't see red anymore. He only saw, because he saw the guy's blood and it traumatized him.
That's right.
And so everything that was blood was just like gray. Yeah. And he ends up sleeping with one of his patients who's his, you know, this hot girl, and who has two brothers, a younger brother Ricky and an older brother. And it turns out that, and spoiler for a, you know, 25 year old movie, it turns out that there is no little brother, but the older brother, the little brother had died long time ago, and the older brother made the girl dress up and be the little brother. So she had split, like these split personalities, because like, and the little brother was like part of a group session that he kind of was, that Bruce Willis was either part of or kind of like directed or whatever. And then the girl would come around, and you know, and like then whenever you realize that the girl is the boy and the girl are the same, is, oh man, it's just messed up.
Yeah,
it's just really messed up. Yeah. But you know, there's blood in, but he doesn't realize it, it's blood, and you don't see it as blood because they took the color out and they made it gray, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it starts turning red, and you realize it's this horror show. And man, I wanted to go into psychology, and I was going to do a double major, psychology and art, right? Because everybody wanted to double major into psychology and something, you know. And I was going to double major in psychology and art, and I saw that movie probably like the second week of college, and I was like, that is it. I am done with psychology. I do not need to be meeting people who are that messed up.
Sounds like it sounds eerily similar to Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah. Well, you know, not as traumatic as that movie, which I saw as an adult, and that still freaked me out. And if you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp,
yeah.
Oh, for sure.
It's got to be on your list.
I'm sure you haven't. If our listeners haven't seen Sleepaway Camp, it's a slasher movie. It's one of the early slasher movies, and it is weird, and it's got disturbing. One of the craziest twists at the end. That you could not get away with making now.
No. Oh, hell no.
But like, hell no. I think I saw it
when I was in eighth grade or something like that. It had come out. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't too long after it had come out, but I remember, or maybe I was younger than that, but man, it was a freaky, freaky, freaky movie. Yeah. I mean, it scars me. It scarred me like The Exorcist scarred me. My dad made me watch that when I was a kid. Talk about a parental person having their kid witness something that's just going to fucking scar him for life. My dad did it to me when The Exorcist came out, made me watch it. Fuck, I still have nightmares, man. That movie, if you watch it, it retains all the, you know, all its craziness.
I'm so proud of my parents allowing my brother and I to see all of the Friday the 13th movies.
Yes.
All of the Halloween movies.
Yep.
I think before I was even 6 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we just knew what that stuff was. Yeah. And now I don't think kids see that stuff anymore. No. It's bananas.
No.
Yeah. No. Well, they got their own real world crazy, ultra violent shit that they get to see all over the news and the internet and everything. I don't need the fantasy, scary, spooky stuff because the world's bad enough, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, Barry's folks would let him. Barry's folks would let him watch all the slasher movies and all that stuff. My dad would not let us watch it. He wouldn't let me watch it. My brother might have could have gotten away with watching it, but he wouldn't let me watch it because he knew that I guess I was too.
Oh, you'd have been traumatized, dude. Oh, yeah. Dude.
No, look. I remember one time we a sleepover that you had, and we were probably like 12 or 13. Maybe not even that old, maybe around 10 or whatever. But you guys were watching one, and I basically had to remove myself from the party for like 2 hours and go and sit at the island in your living in your kitchen while you guys and hearing you guys like just screaming and freaking out and stuff because I was gonna watch it, I was supposed to watch it and didn't want to watch it.
That's funny.
So what did you do instead?
What's that?
Hung out by myself.
I hung out by myself. I probably had a comic book or something like that just totally entertained myself otherwise, you know. And I mean, because I was totally fine doing that as well, but you know, I was just like, I knew that like these are things I could and couldn't do, and that if my dad told me not to do something or watch something, there was a reason for it, you know.
Most,
a lot of times it's because, you know, boobies or whatever.
But true.
You
true.
Know, because and in full frontal in some of those early ones too. That's right. Man, you got the 80s bush and everything. That's right. But like you know I mean, I was a little sheltered, but at the same time I was a tender soft kid that I needed to be sheltered a little bit, you know. So I mean, I've since gone and watched all of them, and I love the horror movies, I love the slashers and stuff. I don't like gore porn like a lot
of people. Man, dude, there,
stuff is, the older stuff,
yeah, that period of the early to mid 80s, man, where the films were just so disturbing, you know, like the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, good god. Now, there's nothing more haunting than those images, you know, Jason with the hockey mask and Michael Myers. And I mean, golly, dude, the list goes on. Just classic filmmaking.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre where those two guys are at the radio station and the guy has the coat hanger and he's just scratching the.
Dude. Yeah, that's hardcore. Hardcore, man. And maybe that's led to our fascination with, or my fascination with, serial killers and all that. I just think it's interesting. I don't give it any credence, but the mind of a madman is really a fascinating subject.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as fascinating as someone who's brilliant. I mean, like you said, you're not glorifying what they did, but to have that within you to be capable of doing such things is crazy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like, what's the difference between that guy and me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A couple of circumstances.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah. Or a little bit of rewiring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, but I think it's also part of human nature where we hate the violence and we hate crime and murder and all these things, but we also like to be titillated and hear the stories, you know, and not, you know, and some gory detail, but to a degree or another. I mean, you know, that's why people love true crime and, you know, people love, you know, even fictionalized crime, like, you know, CSI and stuff like that, you know, we like hearing that stuff. And even, you know, like the slasher films, we like seeing that kind of things, but we know it's not real. It's escapism of a kind of a sort, but you know,
you get a rush.
You can also take it. Yeah. But you can also, you know, you can get a rush off of getting the you know, the spook, the scare part, but you can take it, you know, just like anything, you can take it too far.
Well,
you know, and of course you can only measure what's too far.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean,
hey, and we should mention while we're kind of on the subject, Viceland just put out a piece on Pazuzu, and it is pretty fascinating. It's a 45-minute long piece on so we had a guest on, John, like a few months ago. Maybe 6 months ago, I don't know, it was a while ago. He was talking about this guy Pazuzu, who's a serial killer, and he lives in North Carolina, right? North Carolina.
Well, he did. Yeah, Pazuzu Alugard or something like that. Yeah. And he lived in. He was in, I think Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's right,
Winston-Salem
or Greensboro.
Yeah, and this gentleman that we had on, he would see him all the time. You know, he was just everybody knew who he was, and the little documentary goes into more depth about who he was and sort of what he did. And he was just sort of this low life dude that did a ton of meth and a ton of drugs, you know, heroin, meth, whatever you got. And he had a house where everybody, all the crazies in town, you know, would just come hang out because they knew anything could go, you know, he was down for whatever, you should watch it. You should watch it. It's really pretty fascinating, man. And he did some bad stuff, man. He did some bad stuff, and it's really disturbing. I think the final body count, Adam, was three people. Is that correct?
At least three people that they know of.
Oh.
Yeah. And two of them were buried in his backyard, which he would joke. Well, he would tell people, and they thought he was joking. Because
he's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this guy had, you know, this is pre-SoundCloud, but he had, like, facial tattoos, you know. So it's pre-SoundCloud rapper facial tattoos, but he had facial tattoos and was, like, I mean, he changed his name to Pazuzu Alugard or whatever. And Pazuzu is the name of the demon in The Exorcist. And, And so, like, he thought that he was, like, I don't know if he was necessarily Satanist. Satanic, but he was some kind of, you know,
there was
demonic, you know, worshiper of some sort. And he had all these crazy writings all over his house that were supposed to be like, you know, spells or whatever. And the house was just shithole. I mean, literally one room, shithole.
People would shit all over the floor.
Was removed and they would just shit in there. So... Yeah, so that's a crazy, that was, and like, it was two brothers. One of them, like, when he first moved there, I think it was in Greensboro, like, everybody was like, hey, you should go hang out with this dude, Pazuzu. He's like, he's crazy and he's cool and he knows all about this occult and weird stuff that you know about, man, and all this stuff. And Josh was just like, nah, I don't know. He got a bad vibe, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And then his brother came on, was telling some stories about this other crazy weird character from another town that he lived in before then, but he was talking about how he one time, like a week or so before Pazuzu got arrested, he worked at a restaurant and like served this guy a hot dog, and he remembered it because it was the worst hot dog they had on the menu.
That's right. That's hilarious.
And this guy's been captured. He's like,
oh, he's dead now.
Oh yeah.
He hung himself in jail. He
killed himself. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, the terror, terror, man, it knows no form or shape, you know, it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, wow. Well, crazy story, man. That's a crazy story, John.
Yeah, it was.
Sunday, October. Saturday, October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma, at the Enid Brewing Place. Barry, what's it called?
Enid Brewing Company on the corner of Independence and Maine.
That's right. Hopefully, we got your attention just now. That's right. Saturday, October 19th. You've heard us talk about it. We're talking about it again. Our very first live event, What's Your Beer Story, where we're going to be featuring your three hosts, co-hosts, telling and sharing true life stories of the beer kind. The had too much to drink kind, the hold my beer, et cetera kind. And we are inviting you to be there to share your stories as well. You can try out the variety of beers available and made exclusively by the Enid Brewing Company, including co-host Barry Johnson, who is one of the brewmasters there. And also hear some funny stories and have a good time and just catch up with us. It'll be a fun time. We're going to do stuff. It'll be hilarious. It's going to be fun. We'd love to see you. Join us Saturday, October 19th, 2019, Enid, Oklahoma. So do you have anything else for us, or are you going to just...
I had a, I don't know. Well, we can go to Savannah if you want.
Savannah's got a lot of ghost things there. I had one of my friends, he's in a band and he was traveling through, and he had a experience in Savannah that he just simply cannot talk about. Like, I don't know what it was. And I talked to him a few times to like, I want to hear about this. He can't process it, what it is that happened, but it was something weird and something kind of ghostly. And he's not sure what it was, but I've been trying to get him on here, but we'll see. But like, something happened to him there.
Wow.
And so his bandmates know about it, but he's just, you know, he can't, he's just, I don't know. It's very difficult, and I think it's because it's difficult to even describe what it was. So
wild. Mine definitely wasn't all that intense. The founder of the Girl Scouts of America. What is it, Girl Scouts? Whatever. Her name is Julia Gordon Lowe. Uh-huh. And she was born and from Savannah, Georgia. And so her birthplace house and the house she lived in, they're now museums. And so as a summer job, I was like a docent or a host within one of the museums, like her birthplace house. And every day you would take hundreds of people through this old house, walk them through. There's like, four or five floors. And so, you know, you do this multiple times a day. And this one afternoon, I finished the tour, and it's routine to show everyone down the stairs. You ended on the top floor, and you show everyone down the stairs, and you stay on that top floor, and then you make your rounds in every single room to make sure no one stayed behind, nothing was stolen, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I'm on the top floor, and you have to make sure that everyone goes all the way down, and you hear the door, people go through the door. So that happened. And I'm walking around on the top floor, and I hear my name called. And so I go to the top of the stairs, and I yell down, you know, what do you want or what do you need, you know? And no one responded. So I finish the floor, and I hear my name again. And I yell yet again, and I say, what do you want? And because I thought they needed something downstairs. And no one responded. And I hear my name one more time. And at that point, I'm kind of annoyed because I feel like someone's messing with me. Mm-hmm. So I finish my rounds on all the floors, and I get down to the basement. And the only person I was working with that day was this little old woman, and she was outside taking the garbage out. And it also didn't sound like her, but I thought someone was there. So I don't believe in ghosts, but I just haven't had visual experiences, and I'm kind of that way. Certainly was an auditory thing, and no one was in that house to call my name, or nor would they have known my name.
Wow.
Dude. Yeah. That's, I got a little bit of the goosebumps there, man. We've heard a lot of people that have had like these, you know, ghostly kind of encounters. I haven't had any myself.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily want to have any myself, but I like hearing about them, you know. We've had people tell us about it, and they've heard that hearing your name called is definitely one thing, you know, that keeps coming up, and it's not necessarily very much of a good thing.
Right.
But that is
creepy.
Oh, that's creepy.
That is, man. There's, you know, the disembodied voice is pretty creepy. Hearing your own name, I think, would be the weird thing, because you hear people say too that, you know, you hear other people's names, you know, or whatever, you hear something, but I don't know. I don't know how I'd react to that. That is, well, and Savannah too, is there's so much history there. It's such an old town. How old of a city is that? Do you know?
I'm so bad with the numbers. I can't even say, but it was an old colony.
Yeah, it would have to be one of the first sort of like early colonies, and I would imagine that the Europeans came and set shop up in. I mean, a lot of that is just years and years and years of of history compacting on top of itself. And well, you know, I'm like you, man. It's like I want to believe that. I want to believe that there was a ghost or there was something cool that happened. But like, until you see it and have hard, concrete evidence. You know, I was telling the story before about we went to the Stanley Hotel, which is in Colorado in Estes Park, where Stephen King wrote The Shining.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, and so we went and we did the ghost tour. My wife is a ghost junkie, dude, you know.
Nice.
She's such a scaredy cat, but she talks a big game. So we did the tour, and it was us and a couple more people. And it was daytime, you know, so it wasn't so spooky. But the tour guy was telling us the stories that happened to Stephen King when he was there. Well, it's the presidential suite is the suite that he rented out for the winter, because it's all that in the book is true, man. That town shuts down. There's, you know, one way to get in and one way to get out. And about October, see ya, you know? So yeah, he stayed there, and, there was a ghost in there, and, it would, you know, make his bed or sometimes, you know, trash things or like unfold his clothes, or sometimes it would fold his clothes. Weird shit like that, man. Like, I want to see some of that, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'd really want to see it, you know?
No.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with it. Yeah. I want to hear all about it. But I had nothing to do with it.
And supposedly there's like kids' voices and stuff. Because like the Stanley Hotel, it's a pretty cool story. It was started by the guy that had Stanley Steamer. He had been one of the first, you know, Stanley Steamer, the car, steam-powered car. And he moved out there from Massachusetts because he had a really bad tuberculosis problem. And so they used to prescribe mountain air, you know.
Sure.
So he moved out there and ended up, you know, building this hotel basically for his friends and family to come out and see him, because they get so lonely, you know, he and his wife. And so part of the hotel was dedicated to the kids. Like all the families would come, and then all the kids and their nannies would stay, you know, on like a certain floor numbers, you know. And so on those floors, supposedly, you know, there's a lot of activity. There's like, you know, tugging on pants and, you know what I mean, little kid stuff. Pranks. Holy. But
yeah, man,
that's cool.
And so back to Savannah, man. Yeah. Savannah is supposed to be, at least I think I've heard this, one of the most haunted cities in the United States.
Sure.
Yeah, they've got lots of stories that come out of there. So
anyone else you worked with have any of those types of experiences?
So there was one time, there's a lot of my friends have said they seen stuff. One time we were on a haunted pub crawl, and we were down on Bay Street, and what is it? Oh, shoot. I think it's like Savannah Blues or something. It's just a big like pub and brewery and stuff. And they were doing construction, and they took us to, it was like the second floor where they kept all the grains and stuff like that for brewing. And my friend's wife looked up in the rafters and bolted down the stairs. And we had to run after her to stop her on the street to find out what the hell she was doing. We thought she was mad or like, you know, having some sort of angry, she was upset about something. Mm-hmm. Well, and she was, but she said, when she was looking around the room, she looked up, and on the wooden rafters, she said she saw two little legs just dangling. Ugh. And she didn't even say anything. She didn't make a noise. She just bolted.
Whoa, man.
Whoa. That's creepy.
And it sounds ridiculous, man. But I so badly wanted to see that. Like, I went back, and I didn't see anything, but I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
That'd be some experience.
She obviously saw something. Scared the hell out of her.
For real.
She doesn't take things lightly. Or she doesn't she doesn't just concoct things. It was pretty wild to see.
Wow.
That's crazy, man. Well, you know, we've talked about this before. Another thing on the show is how it seems that some people are like more prone or, you know, to have experiences of this type.
Sure.
You know, they have these spiritual encounters or whatever to see ghosts and stuff like that. But I'm certainly not one of them. Early on, we had a girl that I knew in college named Emily, and she told us about this haunted apartment that she lived in and had all these terrifying experiences. And so much so that she moved out, and she moved out early, and she just, you know, and she left it and like crazy stuff. And it so happens that I was the next person to move in to that apartment afterwards.
What?
And nothing. Now, I also at this point in time lived very close to, you know, I was like two blocks from downtown, right? To where, you know, and I was in college, and this is where all the bars were. So I certainly saw a lot of spirits downtown, but nothing at my
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there was a lot of drinking going on there.
Yeah.
If the ghosts were trying to get in touch, they were knocking at the wrong time.
Yeah. Oh, cool, man. Those are some great stories. Do you have anything else for us?
No, that's about it.
Well, those are fantastic, man.
Yeah, great.
We appreciate you coming on and sharing those. That's some cool stuff, man. And I'll tell you else, some everybody listening at home, some other cool stuff is John does a zine that is it's themed around the comic book character, the Swamp Thing. And this is how we met on Instagram. I started following his Instagram account because I love the Swamp Thing. Amongst comics in general, I love comics, but, you know, everybody knows that. And I love the Swamp Thing.
I remember the Swamp Thing being one of your most, like, sought-after purchases as a kid collecting comic books.
Dude, it's one of those characters that, like, I liked it when I was little, but it also freaked me out.
Yeah, right.
Because it was scary. And then I came back to it and like really got into it whenever I started following particular like writers and stuff. And I remember one spring break, I had to work at the record store, and I was the only person that was staying around during the spring break. So basically I was opening and closing pretty much every day for, you know, like a whole week straight. Right. My boss had like given me the weekend off before. And so what I did is I went to the local comic shop, and then I went and found a couple other comic shops, and I put together a cheap run of this Alan Moore arc, which is a really lengthy arc on Swamp Thing, and arguably the best arc of stuff, and great, incredible comics in general. But like, I was set, you know, so I'm there during spring break in a college town at a record store. So basically nobody's coming in because it's dead, you know, the town's dead. So I was getting paid to read Swamp Thing comics, and I read every single thing during that break, and man, great stuff. So
that's awesome.
Really, man. Fortified my love for Swamp Thing. And, so that's how we, met. And he had mentioned early on, whenever I first started like saying, hey, we want to hear weird stories, how he mentioned the wreck story. I was like, man, that's weird, but I don't know if we're quite there yet, you know, because at that point we were still focused on the spooky, you know, stuff. But as we've expanded, I was looking for people to talk to. I was like, yeah, man, we can get John, and he can tell that story. And then, of course, you remembered, you know, as happens a lot when people are talking, that you remember things, you remember other weird stories and stuff. Yeah. And so you had that, and that was really cool too, man. So, but anyway, that was a long-winded introduction to where I wanted to say, you know, you've got this collection of all this Swamp Thing paraphernalia and memorabilia, and you put out this zine. And so tell us everybody about the your works there.
Yeah, sure thing. It's a 60 plus page basically book made up of art and articles by Swamp Thing fans from around the world. It's the only one of its kind, a Swamp Thing fanzine. And I design it, lay it out, curate it, and it's very much like a throwback to the classic homemade zines from the 70s and 80s. It's far better constructed, but in terms of like the paper I use and the way I lay it out and stuff like that, and I'm a huge fan of not really over editing people's work. I love, if you look at the old 70s zines, when someone made a mistake, they just, you know, X'd it out on the typewriter and moved
right,
on. Didn't rewrite it. And also, it's your own voice, you know, errors and all. But anyway, so it's got everything from I've had photographers submit stuff. I had a scientist write about the behaviors of plants. There's poetry, fan fiction, articles about your favorite book, your favorite movie, even the cartoon. It's all over the place, and it's super cool to be able to be in contact with, like, and also bring people together of this you know, character we all like absolutely love.
That's awesome.
Because it's international stuff. You send it all over the world. It's really cool.
Which I sometimes regret when you look at how much it costs to ship to Australia.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's funny. Well, people may not be aware, like, the fanzine idea has been around for a long time. Some of the new kids may not know what that is, but, you know, in underground culture, the zine was something that if you were interested in a subject like punk rock or like, you know, comics, or there's somebody out there that is dedicating their time to put something together for you to read, and it's a labor of love, and it's rooted in DIY, do it yourself. You know, that's what you do. You're a kid, you got an idea, and boom, you start a fanzine, and it's just a fascinating thing, man. It's really cool that you're doing that. And is it come out? You say it comes out yearly. Is that correct?
Yeah, just once a year. Usually I get around to it by the end of the year, around like November, December.
Cool.
And this year, issue 4 is going to go to the printer. Yeah, it'll probably be like the end of November sometime.
Gotcha. So you're right in the middle of it. You're in work mode.
Yeah, the deadline for all submissions, and people are listening to this, you can still submit. The deadline is, it's going to be September 1st, but there's always late stragglers. There's always someone finishing their piece and stuff. So even if it's after September 1st, feel free to hit me up at hollandfileszine @gmail.com.
You can also follow on Instagram, and that is...
Roots of the Swamp Thing.
There you go.
Yep.
And I'm going to try to crank out a couple of pieces awesome. To submit for this or a future episode, or not episode, but installment of the magazine. Yes. So, because, it'd be really cool and just a lot of fun. And I just got to figure out what I want to do, you know?
Oh, and I also encourage Swamp Thing fans to check out my website. It's rootsoftheswampthing.com. And on there, I've... chronicled every single Swamp Thing appearance. There's a ton of advertisements, whether it be in comics or publications, different articles, but basically it's the definitive source for any Swamp Thing appearance or collectible.
That is awesome, man.
It's really cool. It's all like he did this really cool scan of his collection room for me, and so I got to briefly see, you know, the in motion, all the stuff that he's got. He's got some, basically, if it's Swamp Thing, and it's especially if it's domestic, it's North America, if it's Swamp Thing, he's got it probably. Yeah. I would imagine. So
that's fantastic.
But yeah, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of rare weird stuff too, but it's really cool, like the Swamp Thing chalk figure things.
It's so wild,
bizarre, but yeah.
That's
cool stuff. So, you know, and if you don't read comics and you're interested in something to pick up, I would definitely recommend, if you like gothic horror, I would definitely pick up, you know, some Swamp Thing, because start with the Alan Moore stuff and go from there, because it's really cool and it's really unusual and it's dark and it's for grownups. Uh-huh. So be aware of that as well. So cool. Awesome, man. Well, thanks again. We'll make sure to include all the links and everything to access the zine and everything. And thanks for sharing all your stories. And that was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, and come back. Come back.
Yeah, definitely. Go out, have some weird experiences,
yes,
and come back.
Yes.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, you know, send them our way. You know, we got open door policy pretty much, you know. So, I mean, you know, so yeah, we tell everybody that every week, you know, check us out. So awesome. Well, thanks again, man. And have a good evening out there in the beautiful plains of
South. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right,
take care, man.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEAR-WEIRD-STORY, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Well, man, I have been fairly fortunate to never have to come upon a really bloody accident like that. And as an adult or as a child, and even accidents I've been in have never been bad and bloody like that. So I count myself fortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would cope, but I certainly, you know, I certainly wouldn't bring a child up to it and look. And yeah. I mean, I guess I kind of understand maybe an aspect of what he was thinking, but ultimately, man, that's got to traumatize that kid.
Yeah, it's a separation of generations, you know. It's like, like we were talking about before, you know, older gentleman, you know, his perception on the world is based around some things that a child doesn't need to know about. Mm-hmm. But who knows? That's just not where I thought that story was going, man. I really didn't. I did not see that coming. That was crazy. And I often think about that too, you know, because I've seen bad wrecks. I've been fortunate enough to be there after the fact. I've seen some bad stuff. You know, of course, you see it on YouTube. You watch these videos of these crazy wrecks, and you know, you wonder how you would respond to something like that. And you know, I always think about that too when people are driving like crazy and they're just being super erratic, you know. Your first thought is, God, I wish karma would get them. But not you know, I don't know if you'd want that to happen to them, you know. It's like,
yeah,
pretty crazy. So I don't know, it's a good story, man. Good story.
Yeah. And then, you know, his going to that was the brewery or the place with his friends, you know, and the girl seeing the feet dangling and just kicking off on. Oh, dude.
Yeah. That's freaky.
That is scary, dude.
That's freaky. And something about like Savannah also, you know, the setting is just kind of disturbing. That place has so much history. Mm-hmm. I've been there and have only spent a couple of days there, but my time there was really enjoyable. And great food, great people, but a lot of history, a lot of, there's an underbelly. You sort of feel that thing, you know. It's cool, man. It's a really, really cool town. So
that's good. It's good that you like it, because you know that you are eventually going to end up moving there because of your wife.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to go cooler. She wants to go hotter. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. But I would for her, though. I would for her. But But
probably will. So.
I probably will. But yeah, no, John was awesome, man. And, you know, and then, of course, the swamp thing is just a cool thing. I think it's great that he does that.
Yeah.
It's great to have something like that for people that are big Swamp Thing fans. And it was cool to listen to you guys talk about that stuff.
Yeah, man. It's one of the better comic book series especially if you like the kind of stuff that we talk about here on the show, you know, kind of the weird stuff and the kind of spooky stuff. And if you like, you know, kind of that gothic horror and stuff like that, then it's worth checking out. And, you know, if anybody has any, you know, inkling to do that, and you want to say, you want to, you know, talk about that or whatever, you ever, if you want to talk comic books, you can always shoot me an email or a message on our various social media platforms. I will be more than happy to do that, because, you know, that's one of my main loves in life, is I've always loved comics and I always will. So, but yeah, make sure to go and check out John's his Instagram, which is Roots of Swamp Thing, and that's, you know, that's where we connected. And he also has rootsoftheswampthing.com, and you can, you know, that's got lots of images and lots of cool stuff, and you can find out about the zine there. And I just submitted a couple of drawings. I told him in the during the interview that I was going to do that, but I did that late last night. I sent some in, and, you know, I've got a few more days before the deadline, so hopefully I'll be able to crank out like maybe one more.
Cool.
So we'll see.
Cool.
Fingers crossed. Awesome. I'll make it. So
yeah. Oh, you will. Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. We appreciate John coming on and taking time out of his day. He was a joy to talk to, and another example of a story that is just a crazy story, man.
Yeah.
And if you got any of those, get in touch with us.
You know, this was an episode, this is a whole episode that was born out of like one story that just was so bizarre and so weird that initially we didn't know if it would be fit for the show, but obviously it does. It's weird. But, you know, we thought that maybe that this would be, you know, like he just one story, and he didn't think he had anything else to share. And as it turns out, you know, it wasn't a 5-minute segment. It was the whole show, you know, and then it during the process of just talking about things, he remembered, oh, I've got these other stories that, you know, happened when I was in Savannah and all this other stuff with my friends and ghosts and all that stuff. That's one of the really cool things about doing this show and talking to people and to us and to our guest, is that you may have what seems to be a very small story, you know, but you can turn that story into a seed that will grow into much more of a bigger discussion about
absolutely
all sorts of things that absolutely stem from you know, this, that little seed of an idea, of a story, of a conversation. So
that's right. Yeah.
And that all also ties back into Swamp Thing, because it's all about plants and growing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, it's great. Yeah. So if you got any of that stuff, come on, man. You know, just bring your story and it'll turn into something.
Even if it's a short story, we still want to hear it. We still want to talk to you and share and make that connection, because, man, we love that more than anything, because, you know, making new friends and, you know, talking to old friends, and just it's such a joy. And that's, you know, that's why we're doing this, you know, because we get to have that connection and experience that you just don't get as often these days. And it's, you know, it just it enriches our lives. And we hope that listening to this series, you know, maybe it enriches your life or gives you a pause for a moment, and or just gives you some laughs, because, man, we love having laughs too. So, you know, join us on the show with your little stories, your big stories, your whatever stories, you know, your weird stories. All right, guys. Well, we're going to let you go for today, but we are looking forward to hearing having you join us next week, and also seeing you in October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma. What's your weird story? It's going to be fun. Check us out. Look for the Facebook page for more information, or you can email us at whatsyourweirdemail@gmail.com, or you can, you know, follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you like. We can do it.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere, man. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, We want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.